Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon. It's Friday afternoon on a beautiful day that the Lord has made. A few days after we celebrate our Lord and Savior's resurrection from the dead. And the poignant, the most important point of our faith and the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is his resurrection and his opening up the way for you and I to go to heaven when we die and to live in eternity without all the heartaches and pains and of this earth, and to live there for eternity. So I thank you for listening to the stammering lips as I try to share with you so that you can understand the gospel better, or that you can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And that's what you have to do, is believe. And that's all you have to do, is believe. But what you must do to enter into heaven, to be forgiven for your sins. So let me read over Romans 1:16 and make some comments on this verse. And I'm going to continue to comment on this verse until the Lord tells me to move on. So I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, Rome was the most powerful nation in the world at that time. That's what they were known for. Now, of course, you understand that Paul's on his way to Rome, and he was told by Jesus Christ that he was going to go to Rome and preach the gospel. As a matter of fact, it says there in, Paul was talking. It says here in Acts 23:11, and the night following, the Lord stood by him. He's talking him is Paul. And the Lord told him, he says, be of good cheer, Paul. This is Acts 23:11. Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. And so Paul the Apostle is writing to the Romans, to the people that Christ assured him that he was going to go see them and impart unto them some spiritual gifts and spiritual comfort. Now, why did he want to go to Rome? Why did Christ, well, Jesus even came to him while he was a prisoner in Jerusalem, to assure him that he was going to get there. Well, because of the power and influence of Rome. That's why. You know, some people, most important or very important thing for them to do in their life is to go to Vegas or to New York City or to Paris or to London or to Rome. Because those are centers of influence in their lives. Well, Rome was the center of power in the world, and of course, the center of influence. And as you would go to, there's a commercial around, it's kind of a goofy one, but the center, let's say, of religion or spirituality was in Jerusalem. And that's where Paul knew quite well. And that's where Jesus had died there not too many years before that. So that was the spiritual power, was in Jerusalem, and had a lot to do with Jesus Christ dying, preaching there for 3 years, not specifically in Jerusalem. He went to Jerusalem to die, but he went to the Sea of Galilee and around that area to preach for 3 years, that what he was going to do and what he did do, and then to spread the message, the gospel, the good news to the world. Well, Paul knew that if he went to Rome, he was going to influence a lot of people. And so you had the center or the center of power of religion and spirituality in Jerusalem. Rome, you had the center of power, of man's power. And as Paul has already been to the center of wisdom in Greece, the intellect, he wanted to go now to the center of power, man's power in Rome. So that's why he was so excited about that. And it says here in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." So the power of God is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Power of Rome, not the power of religion, not the power of thought and intellectual gymnastics. I was at a place, at a restaurant about a week ago, and this guy just kind of felt like he needed to come into our conversation, and I guess he thought he was pretty intelligent or whatever. And he says, "Well, I don't believe in God." And I said he was a clown. And I told him, God said in his word, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Well, you blabbed your mouth. You didn't keep it in your heart. You done blabbed it outside. So I think you're a pretty big fool. And he told me, he says, "Well, you know, that's not really a way to convince somebody or win them over to the gospel." And when he told me that, I said, "Well, so you've been through this one time before, because you know that's what a Christian's supposed to do. So I'm using a little shock jock on you, shocking you into what you ought to believe." But anyhow, Paul the Apostle, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God." The power of God. If you were to go today to Rome, you would see the Colosseum. You'd see all the temples and columns and beautiful buildings made out of marble. And then you had the Vatican City, the beautiful buildings, and you have all the ornate and riches of the Roman Catholic Church. There, it pales in comparison to the real monument, the real powerhouse, the monument or mount that really stands out, that is very powerful, and it's Mount Calvary in Jerusalem, Golgotha. That's where the pinnacle of power is. Not in Rome, not in Vatican City, not in New York City, not in London, not in Washington, D.C. No, it's on Mount Calvary. Napoleon said, "How many people do I have that follow me?" Whereas Jesus Christ has millions of followers, and he never held up a gun. power of God. The power of God is the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. It's important to add that. I have a verse on our notice today of our radio program. It says Matthew 1:21. It says, and she shall bring forth a son. Now, this is the announcement of Mary is pregnant with Jesus. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, shall save his people from their sins. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. That's the power of God. The power of God is to impregnate a virgin woman. And the power of God is for God to come in the flesh and walk on this filthy dirt, this wicked and this sinful atmosphere, not commit one sin, and then tell everybody why he's come, prove it to them that he was God by his miracles, by his power in resurrecting people. And it's like Paul said in Philippians, when he said, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him, Jesus Christ, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. That's the power of God. And that's more powerful than all of these rockets and all of these bombs and all of these, nuclear power and anything that man could come up to is so insignificant to the power of God that was displayed on that mount, that little mount, Calvary. It's more majestic than anything that man can make. And that's what Paul, the apostle, was not ashamed of. Now, nobody knew what, all they knew was that there was some religious zealot in Jerusalem, in Judah, it was Syria at that time, and who was causing a lot of problems by saying that he was God, and that he, and then some of his followers were saying that he is alive today, he resurrected from the dead, and they didn't know much about him. They knew about him, but they didn't know much about him. And the followers were causing a lot of upheaval with everybody else. That's what they knew about Rome. Well, that's what they knew in Rome. And here comes Paul the Apostle. And it's like living in Alabama and being an LSU fan. You're not very popular. And you don't want, and this is nothing compared to what Paul, but it's something that I'm not saying you'd be ashamed of, but you wouldn't be too proud of in certain situations. And so it is. Paul was all excited about going to Rome and being having the opportunity to tell others about Jesus Christ. He wasn't ashamed. He wasn't ashamed of what he believed and why he was going to Rome and how he was going to Rome. He was going to Rome as a prisoner. He didn't have, a first-class flight on an aircraft. He didn't have a very nice, swanky hotel with a big, let's say, a penthouse or anything else like that to stay. He did have a bodyguard. He had a bodyguard that stayed with him the whole time. He was a prisoner, and he had a soldier that kept him handcuffed to him the whole time. But he was not ashamed. And he stayed there for a few years. Some say that he escaped, or he was set free. No, he didn't escape. He was set free and gave his freedom for a little while. Then they went and arrested him again, some say. But he ended up dying there. He was executed. But Paul the Apostle was not ashamed because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Christ means Messiah. And Jesus Christ was the promise of the whole Old Testament. He was the Messiah. He was the promised one to come. And when he died on the cross, he made it open up the opportunity for anybody to be saved. And he was the promised one. So Paul was not ashamed of the gospel, the good news that Jesus has come and he has fulfilled the Old Testament. He had prophecies about him coming, and he proved it by his miracles, by his walk on the earth, by his teachings, and then his he gave himself to be crucified, to be offered his sinless flesh for our sinful flesh. He, sinless body, sinless person, to be offered for our sin. He gave it. As it says in Romans chapter 5, all are made sin by one person, Adam. And so all are not made sin by the second person, Jesus Christ. So that's the good news, that Jesus, death could not keep him, because the power of sin is death. But death could not keep him. He resurrected as he promised when he was before he died, and he was preaching and teaching. They asked him for a sign, another sign. And he says, the only sign that you're going to see is like Jonah saw when he was put in a whale for 3 days, and then he came back out. He came out of that whale alive. And you're going to see me go, and 3 days later, I'm going to resurrect. That's the sign. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And that is the power of God. The power of God. Yet, like I said, Napoleon had some powerful armies. He was a powerful leader. But he knew that he was not the most powerful person. He knew that the gospel, Jesus Christ, is the most powerful person. And that is the power of God, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, who God sent to this earth, made of a woman, for our salvation, for us to be saved. It is the power of God. You have nothing to be ashamed of when God opens the door for you to share the power by which you live, the power by which you're going to live, the power of the message that you have to talk about, Jesus Christ. And it says here, in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. If God thought, you know, everybody prays for certain things, that God's power would be used to accommodate what their prayer is about. It might be about health. It might be about some good things. or it might be about some ridiculous things. But the power of God here is manifested by salvation, by saving those that believe. That's what the manifestation of the power of God is. You believe in Jesus Christ, then the power of God is going to be applied to your life, to your soul, to your eternity, because you believe. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, through the virgin birth of a woman. And he came, he ministered 3 years, and then he allowed himself to be crucified and then resurrected from the dead to prove his power over sin, the last enemy. And that's to save you. When you believe in him, then all your sin is forgiven. God honors your faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, what Jesus has done for you. You say, "I needed that. I needed Jesus to die for my sin." Doesn't matter how much sin. It matters that you realize that you are a sinner and you have a sinful nature. And Jesus had to come and pay the price for your sin. You owe God. You owe God because of your sin against him. We are born with a sinful nature, with a rebellious nature. We come out fighting God and fighting God in so many different ways. And so God had to send himself in the form of a child, of a human being, so that we could save ourselves from ourselves. And Jesus Christ did it, because we can't save ourselves from ourselves. We are inherently rebellious and sinful against God, against God's will and God's way. And that happens even after you're a believer, because of this flesh that we live in. We're still sinners, and we have a sinful nature that will and wants to sin. We're addicted to that. We can't, unfortunately, now we can allow the Holy Spirit to take over and kind of tone us down so we're not so rebellious. But we are sinful by nature and by habit. We are addicted to sin. And so if you believe that Jesus is God and he came and fulfilled the scriptures and resurrected from the dead for you, so that your sins could be paid for, so that you could go to heaven when you die, that you can have live a different life, live a life that is not addicted to sin, but has a life where you can be empowered by the Holy Spirit to live a victorious and successful and enjoyable life by fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That's what the salvation is, to know that you're forgiven, that you know that you're going to heaven when you die, and you can go and you can share that message with other people. You can have the enjoyment. I've never felt so filled or fulfilled in my life, so enjoyed so much as when I've led somebody to the Lord. I've prayed with them. I've shared the gospel with them, and they responded to the persuasion of the message by the Holy Spirit. So don't be ashamed. Paul wasn't ashamed, but that was why he was so excited. He was going to go bring that message to a place where the message could be spread throughout all the world and others could be saved. Others could know the joy of forgiveness, the joy of salvation, and also spread that message with, and so enjoy life, the feeling, the fulfillment you will feel when you tell somebody about Jesus. Whether they believe or get saved themselves right there, it's the feeling of sharing good news. So God bless you. I've enjoyed talking to you. Need to contact me, you'd like to contact me, my email is wsm217@gmail.com. wsm217@gmail.com. God bless you.